Greetings to the Path family. Our slogan at the Path is meeting you where you are. We invite you to follow, share, and check us out on social media. You may connect with us at any time, anywhere, on Facebook at The Path Church or Instagram and Twitter at Join the Path. Without further delay, enjoy this week's sermon.
Today, we're going to do a nice little bit, three movies. We're going to do three movies in one. This is more of a character study than it is just one movie, okay? So I wanted to give you a little background on me. My name is Quay. I've been a member of the Path Church going on 10 years now. I have grown up here, basically, become an adult here, and now helped out with the campus, helped out with the singles ministry. I'm married now, so ministering to some men. Yes, my wife up in the front row. And just over the 10 years, I've been able to grow and experience a lot with God to now be able to say that I'm a fighter, right? I'm a lover. I'm resilient. I'm strong. I'm intelligent. I'm probably one of the better rappers in the room, right? So when I say some of these things about myself, I'm attractive. Right. So when I say some of these things, it probably gives you like, eh. Why is he talking about himself in this way? Why does he sound like he's bragging, right? And we're going to kind of deal with that a little bit today. Because I was thinking about doing this sermon. It's going to be called Untitled, right? So that's the title of my sermon, right? As you can see, it's on my shirt, made this shirt, and decided that it would be appropriate for what we're going to be talking about today, because it's not literally about being untitled, being unknown, being some random variable. It's about being retitled. That's right. It's about letting go of our titles that we've been given from one set of people or one group and embracing the titles that we get from God. Amen. That makes sense? So it's going to be called Untitled. I was inspired by Captain America. Captain America is going to be my character that I'm going to be doing a study today on. Background for people who haven't been paying attention to the MCU. I don't know how you manage that. I'm a huge fan. But anyway, anybody that hasn't been paying attention, Captain America is the guy that you may have seen with the shield. If you read comics or watched the movies, he's a brave, intelligent, determined, super capable hero. And throughout the six movies that he's in, he's accomplished some incredible feats. So he's pretty admirable guy. I'm going to give you a picture of him so you can get an idea of what he looks like. That's Captain America. thin-necked, flimsy guy who probably looks like he would have been blown away in 15-mile-per-hour winds. So, anyway, this is not the Captain America you think of when you think of Captain America, right? Not at all, right? He's a little miniature. That's probably the guy you think about right there. The stronger, bigger, taller, faster, all that. Captain America, leader of the Avengers Team One. So let me give you a little bit of idea of what happened. So in the first movie, we're going to start off with the first movie, Captain America, right? So he ends up being this young, scrawny guy who wants to join the military. His idea, his heart is to, I want to go ahead and serve there in the middle of a war against Germany's. He wanted to help. But the man was anemic. He had heart issues. He clearly didn't have the frame or build to be able to be in the combat area. But he was rejecting the idea of being in the factories, just kind of helping make something or move supplies. Because he was like, this men laying down their lives. I should do no less. I can do no less. So this guy will go and try to enlist in the military. And they'll be like, sir, no. So he'll go to another city and change his name. And he was like, oh, I just want to listen. They're like, sir, no. He got rejected five times. from being able to enlist in different cities where he made up these different aliases, right? And so on one of his journeys, there was a doctor who was doing an experiment who happened to see him talking about his desire to help, his desire to serve, and his desire to lay down his life. And so he says, you know, all I can give you is a chance to change it around, to become what you want to become. So he takes him and he tells him about this program. He sends him to the training camp for the military. And he says to him this, hey, you've been selected to be in this experiment that I'm doing. And the tricky thing about it is not anybody can be chosen for this experiment. The problem is that the doctor found is that good became great. However, anything that was bad became way worse. So they had to find somebody with good character, some good inside of them, even, you know, just a bit, enough good so that when the experiment happened, they became great, right? So he took them and he did the experiment on Captain America. And, well, he became this guy that we know. And I want to draw a parallel to the scriptures, of course, because it kind of reminds me of Moses. So we're going to look at some of Moses' journey and how it parallels with Captain America, because we would all, anybody who's read the Bible, probably agree that Moses was a pretty great leader, right? Right. Didn't start off like that. Let's go ahead and look in our Bibles to Exodus chapter 3. All right, in Exodus chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 3. And it says, so Moses thought, this is after he's seen a bush burning. He says, so Moses thought, I would go over and see this strange sight. Why does the bush not burn up, even though it's on fire? When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take your sandals off, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you, that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So clearly, we see that Moses is giving God the 21 questions, right? As he's been called to do something great. He was called to go ahead and risk his life to be able to save some people. But before Moses could even get to becoming the great person he was supposed to be, before he can get to accomplishing what his purpose was, it sounds like God needed to deal with him individually, had to deal with his own views of himself that were affecting the way that he was viewing his purpose, right? It's a question we probably all asked ourselves at some point, probably asking ourselves right now, or will in the future. It seems like every new stage of life is kind of like, who am I? Who am I? You know, you get into college and you're kind of getting there. The first thing they ask you on day one, what's your major? Well, I'm 18. I don't know. What I want to do with all of my life after this? Or I have a general idea. Or you get out of college and it's like, all right, well, where are you going to work? Well, I just got the degree. I was just hoping that somebody would call me. we work something out. You get married and it's like, man, who am I? I thought I knew myself until we got here, and she here all the time, and she can see the things that I do that I don't even be knowing that I be doing. Each stage of life is demanding something else of us, and sometimes it gets us to the point where we just feel lost, right? Now, granted, I named some later stages of life, but, I mean, even some of the young people in here, the teenagers, do you know who you are going to be 30 years from now? You don't. You probably don't even know what you're going to do next week, let alone who you're going to be in 30 years. You can have a vision, you can have a plan, but it all, you can, when you envision that stuff, you also have to recall who you are right now. And who I want to be later on doesn't really match with who I am right now. And so we all have those issues. We all have those struggles. And so God responds to Moses' question about who am I by saying, I'm going to be with you. What that got to do with me? Like, what does that have to do with me? That is great that you were coming along for the ride. But I'm still likely to mess this thing up. So while God is there and I feel him in a, you know, in an emotional way, I feel his presence close to me, it still got to come out of my mouth. I still got to do the work. I still have to walk. I still have to go. I still have to be in danger, right? And so Moses is having a grip with the truth that I think we all need to learn to embrace, right? Is that you have an identity that is given to you by God. We have an identity that is given to us by God. Here's the problem, though. We spent however many years creating our own. We've been spending too many years, or as many years as we've been alive, having other people tell us who we are. So in Moses' instance, he's been being who he was. He was first told that he thought he was Egyptian, kind of, because he was living with the Pharaoh after he was picked up out of the water and his mom raised him. So he knows he's a Hebrew, but I'm also Egyptian. What's going on? And so he has to put on these identities. And then he breaks out, find out he's an Egyptian, and he's an Israelite, Hebrew, and he runs away after he kills somebody. And he's hiding out, marries a Midianite woman, and God reaches out to him in this place of lostness. So he's not in Egypt. He's not with the Hebrew people. He's out married to some foreign woman. Midianite, like, his identity is just an amalgamation of all of these different experiences right now. And then God says, hey, no, you mine. You're a Hebrew. Go save your people. Huh? It's a lot to do here. And so I want to read something from this book that I read a couple years ago. I probably referenced a couple books maybe today. One of them is called, this one is called Emotionally Healthy Spirituality. This book tore my soul apart, and there were a couple of times where I had to just read one line and close it for the day because that was enough. But it says here, it is always true to some extent that we make our images of God. It is even truer that our image of God makes us. Eventually, we become like the God we image. One of the most beautiful fruits of knowing the God of Jesus is a compassionate attitude towards ourselves. This is why Scripture attaches such importance to knowing God. Healing our image of God heals our image of ourselves. What the book is communicating, and what these Scriptures communicate from what you're seeing with Moses, is like, I get who you think you are, but because of who I am, I can make you who you were meant to be. Amen. I get who you think you are, but because of who I am, I can make you who you're meant to be. So what we learned is that the best of you is only attainable through the working of God. I don't care what you've accomplished to this point. I don't care how many letters you got behind your name to indicate your title, how many degrees you got going on. You still ain't there. You still haven't reached it if you haven't let God in to help him inform who you are and guide you in the way you should go and determine your actions as Lord of your life. So Moses, he wasn't done with his question. So let's go back to Exodus in chapter 4. He went on for two chapters arguing. But in chapter 4 in verse 8, It says, as he's talking to the Lord, he's giving him all these questions. The Lord said, hey, I'm going to give you some signs to be able to show the people, not only you just telling them that I'm with you, I'm going to show them that I'm with you by giving you some signs. You're going to throw your staff on the ground, it's going to become a snake. You're going to put your hand in your coat, you're going to have leprosy, and then you're going to put it back in, and it's going to come out, it's going to be healed. Crazy, right? And so he's giving them these opportunities for him to show people that he was walking in God's purpose for him, right? So it says, then the Lord said, if they do not believe you or pay attention to the first sign, they may believe the second. But if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, take some water from the Nile and pour it on the dry ground. The water will take you from the river. The water you take from the river will become blood on the ground. Moses said, pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent. Neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant, I am slow of speech and tongue. The Lord said to him, who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and teach you what to say. But Moses said, pardon me. Pardon your servant, Lord. Please send somebody else. Super relatable, right? But here's the thing. In verse 14, it says, then the Lord's anger burned against Moses. And he said, what about your brother, Aaron the Levite? I know he can speak well. He is already on his way to meet you, and he will be glad to see you. You shall speak to him and put words in his mouth. I will help both of you speak and will teach you what to do. He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth and as if you were God to him. But take this staff in your hand so you can perform the signs with it. So Moses is he's clearly struggling. Talking to God and giving him ultimatums or giving him, you know, let's just do plan B. Do something else other than this. I get it. I can relate to it a lot. Just that idea to pass the buck. Just to push it along. Please, just, you know, pass over me, Lord. Let this cup pass over to somebody else. I'm not actually not doing it. I'm just delegating, right, it to somebody else. I get that concept in general. So when I was first coming out to the church and became a Christian and started to learn, like, hey, this is great. I really want people to know this. I really feel like there's forgiveness. There's restoration. There's redemption in God, right? So I'm really excited about that, and I'm, like, trying to invite all my friends to church. And, you know, I'm coming with carloads of people to church because y'all need to hear this. Cool, right? So here's the problem. Sometimes being at church ain't enough. Sometimes people come to church for all of their life and never get to know God. So what I started to discover is that Jesus didn't just bring people to church. He walked with them. He taught them, right? He loved them, right? And so, see, that's problematic, because if I am going to help somebody get to know God, that means I'm sharing scriptures with them. But if I don't know enough scriptures, what if they ask me something I don't know? And so we go out, we're having this leadership training thing. I'm like, you know, maybe I'll be a leader 10 years later. and so we go to this leadership training, like, oh, you know what? We're going to go to Georgia Tech, and we're going to meet some people and see if they want to look at scriptures or if they want to come to church. You know, no pressure is what it is. I feel all the pressure. That's what I feel on my back. And so Andrew and I go out. I go to this Starbucks. I meet this 40-year-old Middle Eastern professional guy at Georgia Tech. So I'm from Atlanta City, New Jersey. I've been never upper class. And so meeting this, you know, this polished guy, got his suit on and everything like that, briefcase and all that, and I'm talking to him about wanting to read the scriptures. And he's like, okay, I'll engage you. And so he sat down with me, and I'm like, Angel, I got this Middle Eastern guy, he wants to study the Bible. He's like, all right, cool. And so we sit down, and I look at Angel, and Angel look at me. Go ahead, man, go ahead. And he's like, you got it, you got it. Oh, man, no, I don't. And so I end up opening up the scriptures with this guy. He was super respectful, patient with me as I was sharing things. But as I started to talk, as we prayed, as we went through it, I started to realize I knew a lot more than I thought I did. I started to realize that it didn't take me being able to quote all 66 books of the Bible to be able to help somebody. And so by just embracing who God wanted me to be, just by embracing the fact that, hey, I have a role in his kingdom to show his love to people, to explain to them the truth that is found in him. By doing that, I was able to unlock and figure out something about me. It's the same for you. It's the same for all of us. The closer we get to God, as we read his scriptures, as we read his word, as we follow his instructions, not only is it going to reveal something about God or the people that we're dealing with, it's also going to reveal who we really are. And so we need to be able to take that and let it be our daily practice. How am I embracing who God says I am today? How am I living the way God says I am, regardless of how I feel about myself, right? If God says something about me, that's what reigns. That's what is on top. So Cap was a little bit, he was great. So Captain America, he had this whole idea of, I'm going to be great, but he ain't had a capacity for it. His body was weak. He was not the guy for that activity. He had the courage, but not the capacity, right? Moses, he had neither the capacity nor the courage. I had the capacity, but I didn't have the courage. And so all of us have to get to a point where we fall somewhere on that spectrum, where we have the tools to be used, but we're scared to use them. Or we don't have them, but we got all the courage in the world. And then we have some people that ain't got nothing. Just, I don't want to be nothing. I'm not trying to do anything. That's not to make you feel bad, because I just said Moses is one of the greatest leaders we can think of in the scriptures. He didn't have either. But God said, I made your mouth. I'm God. And since I'm going to be with you, you're going to get past all of that. It's possible to be different than you are today. So Moses is doing this thing that I hate about myself at times. He has insecurities, right? Everybody probably has an insecurity or 50. And so he's saying, like, hey, I'm slow of speech. I got a brother. He's better than me, right? He's sharing all his insecurities. Everybody loves little quotables in their sermons, so I'm going to give you one, right? Admitting our insecurities is not the same as taking ownership of them. Admitting our insecurities is not the same as taking ownership of them. So just being able to go around and say, oh, I can't speak well, or oh, I'm too young, I'm too old, my time has passed, you know, whatever it is, that's not the same as owning it and saying, hey, I feel insecure in this way. What can I do? How do I deal with this? Okay, maybe you need to go and read some scriptures. Maybe you need to pray. Maybe you need to talk to somebody about it. Maybe you need to go to counseling. The point is that it is your responsibility to deal with your insecurity. Because if God says something about you and you feel like you're here, you need to walk with God to hear. Yeah, you need to go with God to there. So refusing our God-given identity is not an option. Well, it is, but it shouldn't be. Because it says that God's anger burned against Moses because he was not embracing who God said he was. He's like, hey, send somebody else. Do something else. This is not necessarily part of the sermon, but it's pretty interesting because it says in verse 24 of chapter 4 that God was on his way to kill Moses. You can look at that later. Point is, Moses was a Hebrew. Abraham instituted a thing with God where they were supposed to get circumcised. His son wasn't circumcised. And so Moses is, God was on his way like, I don't know why you're rejecting your identity, but I'm about to get you up out of here if you don't get it together. Luckily, his wife, Zipporah, came through in the clutch. So appreciate you for standing in the gap, wife. I thank you. No, So the point is, God has things for you to do now. If you're here and you're hearing this, God has something for you to do right now. It may not be huge, it may be very huge, but the point is not the size of the problem or the issue that you're going to be tackling. It's the God that's with you. It's the God that's in you to make you better than who you are. And it's not about your purpose. It's about God's purpose for your life. We're in a very identity-focused culture right now, right? And the idea is whatever I think about myself is true. Well, what you thought about yourself was different when you were 12. And it was different when you were 21. It's going to be different when you're 35. And definitely when you get 60, you might feel a little bit differently about yourself. And so allowing that to be our identity is not it's not sufficient. It's not stable. That's not firm foundation. We need God, something consistent. That's why God said, I am who I am. I'm eternal. I'm always going to be who I am. I'm God. I'm the consistent thing in your life. And so I can inform you about who you really are throughout the ages. So my challenge after watching Captain America, the first one was, you know, write down every dream, insecurity, and title. Write down every dream, every insecurity, and every title you have, and find scriptures that address each of them. It's my challenge from that movie. You may find that some of your dreams are rooted in pride. You may find that some titles you carry are not from God, and you can discard them. You don't have to be a lame or a loser or worthless or whatever it is. You don't have to walk around with that title because you find out from God, that's not who I am, right? You may find out that you're not a Christian the way God said you became a Christian, right? You may find that the scripture says something a little bit different than what you did, right? Now you got to deal with that, like, because it's better to be on God's, let God be right than what you decided. So the most important thing is once you know, you can deal with it. But if we just walk around with these subconscious messages of who we are, just letting people inform who we are, then we walk around in dark for as long as possible until God gives us another wake-up call. So anyway, I went on to go watch movie number two, which is Captain America, the Winter Soldier. A little backstory for those who haven't watched the movie. So Captain America, he kind of now has a general idea of who he is, what he stands for. Along the way, he lost a friend while he was fighting in the war, because he actually got to go fight in the war once he became Big Cap, right? He goes and he's fighting after he's, I didn't say this. He got submerged in ice for 70 years. In order to save the world, he crashed a plane into some ice and he froze over. They found him 70 years later and he was still alive thanks to the special experiment that was done on him. Comic books, right? Anyway, so he was still alive. And so now he's like trying to get back into things. And he finds out on a mission that his best friend that he thought he had lost, who had died 70 years ago, was alive. He was alive and he was committing atrocities all over the world for the span of 50 years. And so on one of his missions, he runs out and he's fighting and he sees his friend. And while attempting to save him, because he had been brainwashed, this friend, Bucky is his name. That's Bucky in the slide. His name is Bucky, and he was brainwashed by the people that they were fighting to do the evil things that he was doing. And so Cap, in an attempt to save him and save the world, ended up having to fight his friend, and I want to show you a video of that right now. So should have gave y'all a PG-13 warning prior to that. But yeah, it's an action film. There you go. So in that scene, we see them fighting. They have an intense battle, eventually ending in Cap almost dying and being pulled out the water by Bucky. We're going to look at that a little bit after we view the scripture. Let's go ahead and turn back, rather, to Exodus chapter 4. And in verse 29, Moses and Aaron brought together all of the Israelites, and Aaron told them everything the Lord had said to Moses. He also performed the signs before the people, and they believed. And when they heard that the Lord was concerned about them and had seen their misery, they bowed down and worshiped. After Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the wilderness." Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey him and let Israel go? I don't know the Lord, and I will not let the Israelites go. Jumping down to verse 15, it says, Then the Israelite overseers went and appealed to Pharaoh. Why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we are told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people. Pharaoh said, lazy. That's what you are, lazy. This is why I keep saying, let us go and sacrifice. That's why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw, yet you must produce your full quota of bricks. The Israelite overseers realized that they were in trouble. When they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day. When they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, may the Lord look on you and judge you. You have made us obnoxious to Pharaoh and his officials and put a sword in their hand to kill us. Anybody see the parallel? No? All right. So Captain America knew who Bucky was. Problem was, Bucky was brainwashed. Bucky had no idea who he was. He had no idea who Captain America was, his best friend from childhood. What happened was he had got into this experiment and they started to have him trained to respond to certain words. And so they would say this combination of random words that seemed like just nonsense to us. But when they would say that combination of words, Bucky would stop whatever he was doing, stand at attention and say, ready to comply. They had him under their finger. The Israelites also were under the influence of Pharaoh. All he had to do was turn up the pressure just a little bit. All he had to do was say, hey, we're going to make them work a little bit harder. When they come to me, I'm going to tell them who they are. You're lazy. That's who you are. You're lazy. And so, no, I'm just going to keep pressing on you because you're lazy. And this is how I help you deal with your laziness, by oppressing you even more. Problem is, we get stuck in a holding pattern like that too. As we go through life, we've learned different things. People have told us different things about who we are. And maybe not. Maybe you feel like you're a self-confident person. You feel like you are very aware of who you are. But you haven't really made room for God to describe who you are, to tell you and inform who you are and how you should live. Brainwash, man. You're brainwashed. If you don't think that God has say in who you are, if he doesn't describe who you are, you're missing something. You're either under the influence of God or you're under the influence of something else, influence of the enemy. And so in this instance, he had to do a little bit of things to help him work out. He had to punch him. He had to hit him with a shield. He had to, you know, leave his hands up and let him himself be attacked for a bit. And ultimately, he had to give everything, almost gave his life to help his friend embrace who he really was. And he told him some things. He said, you're Bucky. You're my friend. You know who I am. I'm with you to the end of the line. The reason that was significant is because that's something that Bucky had told him earlier. He said, I'm your friend, and I'm with you to the end of the line. And when he heard that, it resonated that somebody was still there for him. Somebody remembered him and who he was supposed to be, still called him. It sounded a lot like Jesus. To be able to endure the abuses of the people that were attacking him, who he had only came down to this earth to save. To have them hurl insults on him, to literally assault him, just so that they can see, even on the cross, on his death, saying, forgive them, Father, because they know not what they do. Still having this heart of, even if I have to give of myself completely to have you embrace your identity, it's worth it to me. But that's only possible once you claim your identity. So once you know who you are, it's not so much about proving yourself or defending yourself or trying to figure that out. You can just give freely because you know what you have. You know what you have. When God is security for you, it's easier to give to people. It's just not easy helping people to reject titles that have been given to them by this world or themselves. It's not often a painless affair. It usually involves some sacrifice on your end. Anybody that's been in any type of industry helping anybody or anybody that's in ministry helping anybody, you know that a lot of self-sacrifice and self-denial was involved. They may persecute you, they may argue with you, they may ignore your phone calls, they may try to distance themselves from you, but the goal here is for allowing them to be able to claim their identity the way you have. Because it's freedom in that. It's freedom in knowing who you are. It's freedom in knowing that God loves you. It's freedom in knowing that when I die, I'm going to be with God. So I'm not as attached to this whole, you know, having to build my own empire here and all that type of stuff, because I'm good. I got what's waiting. I got something much better waiting. And so I experienced this myself. When I became a Christian back in 2010, I was very much involved in my fraternity and student involvement and things like that. I was a college student at the time. And I came to know the truth. And in attempting to live in the truth, I had some decisions to make about what type of things I was going to continue to let inform and influence me. And so I had some girl that I was dating at the time who was not necessarily ready to try to pursue a relationship with God. I had frat brothers who was like, they thought I was going through a phase. They wanted to kind of continue to push me back into what we were doing before. They would continue to invite me to stuff that they knew I wasn't going to come to. They still tried to remind me of things that I wasn't interested in anymore. Because as I was getting closer to God, my taste was starting to change. Right? Some of the things that I liked, things that felt like pleasure, that felt like fun, they started to change, and I found new things that made me have an experience with fun and joy and a lot less guilt afterwards. Right? And I was like, man, this is better. This is like drinking water. As you get older, drinking water is the move. It wasn't when you was a kid, right? But, like, this is water. So anyway, I started to embrace that, and they started to feel some type of way. So Jazz, who is our outreach pastor here, is my frat brother. We crossed into our fraternity at the same time. He was one of the main people, kind of like, we hung tight ever since way back. And so he was still trying to allow me to engage in some activities that I was no longer interested in. And they would persecute me. When I wasn't around, they were like, oh, Quay's weird. Oh, he's doing that church thing, right? And one of my frat brothers, Brendan, came, and he ended up becoming a Christian. And then would talk when they were going. They was like, oh, you going to Quay Church? Oh, no, they do too much over there. So, you know, eventually another one of my frat brothers ended up getting saved. And then he talked to Jazz and was like, you know, you sorry. You know, he was new. He was still trying to figure out how to speak with gentleness, right? But he's like, you sorry. And he busts him out of the scripture, you know, that basically said, you know, you're going to die and burn to hell, basically. Long story short, that was a wake-up call for Jazz, right? For him to start taking it a little bit more seriously, to start seeking God. And so I was able to sit down with Jazz and open up the scriptures with him and Angel and some other people to help him get to know God. And now he is a minister, right? That's significant because after Cap basically gave everything he had and left everything he had all out in the field, he was supposed to die. He was supposed to drown. The person that pulled him out the water was the same person that was giving him all that grief. The same person that he invested all that time in, all that energy, all those calls, all those visits, all those meals. He vested all that in, and that ended up being the person that helped him out in his time of need. But oftentimes, it could be hard to give of ourselves when we don't feel like we're getting immediate return. But helping people to understand who they are, right, actually ends up benefiting you too. The more people get to know God and embrace their God-given identity, the better the world is. So helping people is our responsibility. And I hope you don't ignore that responsibility as you are walking with God, because it's hard to walk with God, to say you're walking with God and ignore that. It's kind of the point. Jesus kind of died for our sins, and he didn't just leave with dying for sins and then that was it. Y'all forgiven. Y'all go do whatever y'all want to do. He instituted a church. That was a part of the mission. die for sins, create the church, create a people of God's own. And so we have to embrace our role in continuing to build up God's church. Cool. So it was a really good one. So while after that, I went to go watch Civil War, which is the third Captain America movie with like 20 people in it. It's not a Captain America movie. But anyway, I had a challenge for myself after watching Winter Soldier. Say, hey, you know, make a commitment, and this is my challenge to you, to make a commitment to help one person claim or reclaim their God-given titles. Help them. So as I'm watching Civil War, the major theme in that movie is, who are we, right? We deal with who am I, who are you, and who are we. It's this more collective identity deal, right? And so the United Nations in this movie decided that the Avengers were doing way too much. They're too strong. You got superpower people just going to whatever country they want, leaving a whole bunch of wreckage but saving a whole bunch of people. As our governments love to do, they wanted to regulate. And so 117 countries decided that they were going to have this accord signed and that the Avengers were going to have to submit to the United Nations deciding when they would go and save somebody, when they would not. And so the Avengers got into a big tiff about that because some agreed that they should be put in check and others were like, there's no way, even though we're not perfect, the safest hands are still our own, is actually a quote from Captain America. So anyway, while they were arguing, Captain America got a text message saying that his long love had died. And so here's a scene from the funeral that I want to show real quick. If you weren't able to pull that together, basically he went to the funeral and one of the Avengers showed up to try to comfort him because they knew he was going through a hard time. And he asked them how many people had signed on with these government's plans to be able to oversee the Avengers and tell them when and where they could go and how they could move. And she told him who was all there, and she said, you know, there's extra room. You can come too. Staying together is more important than how we stay together. His response was, well, what are we giving up to do that? So what I gathered from that is that some people just feel like just being around each other is enough. We can agree on very foundational issues, right? But as long as we still in the same room, singing together, clapping hands, that's unity, right? No, it's not unity. Listen, when there is no mutually accepted moral standard, there's no real unity there. There's no real unity there. And I'm sorry, because, you know, we're in a place now where everybody play nice. I would rather be loved by God and tolerated by people than be loved by people and just tolerated by God. And so that's what we kind of are getting pushed towards. The church itself is kind of having a struggle right now, trying to decide, you know, what does our role look like, right? To be able to be compassionate, to be merciful, to be understanding to everybody's struggle, but also saying, well, the line is drawn where God drew it. And we have a responsibility to be able to know what that is if you call yourself a Christian. So you have to be close to God. You have to be praying. You have to let the Spirit guide you into what God wants you to do. But then you also need to be able to understand that everybody's not going to like it. Captain America had a quote in this movie that I really loved. He said, in this job, you know, we try to save people, but that doesn't always mean everybody. And you got to learn to live with that, because if not, then next time maybe nobody gets saved. We got to do our best now to stand firm, to look the world in the face, to look the titles that we are given in the face, where they try to take you off the path where God wants you to go and say, no, you move. You be the thing that bends to God's will, as opposed to all of us dancing and prancing around and being scared to say anything that is offensive to some. Not with the intention of offending them, but if you speak truth, it's going to exclude lies. That's just how it works. And so we have to make a decision for ourselves that we're going to be the ones who stick there. I won't read this. I won't make you go completely there, but it's in Exodus chapter 14. Basically, Pharaoh realized after he let God's people go, after some pain, he let them go. After he let them go, he realized, he's like, I let go of my entire workforce. Hello. And so he goes and he gets his chariots and he gets his arm and he wants to go chase the Israelites back and say, hey, they're coming back today. And so on their way, the Israelites come up on a sea. They come up on the Red Sea and they get stuck because Pharaoh's coming from this side. The sea's on this side. We don't have anywhere to go. And he turned back to Moses and they basically complained and said, why were there not enough graves in Egypt for us to die in that you brought us out here to the desert or that you brought us out here to die in the wilderness? We would have been better off serving the Egyptians than dying out here. So they would rather be slaves than be in step with God. They rather be in they rather believe in the pains of the ones that hurt them than trust in the power of the one that freed them. I get it. We have insecurities. I get it. We have flaws. I get it, right? But at some point, it comes to a point where you have to say, who am I going to believe? Who am I going to trust? Your pain was very real. The rejection was very real. The feelings of loneliness were very real, or the, you know, being marginalized and ostracized. All that stuff actually happened, right? However, God presented an alternative to you. He's presenting an alternative to us in the form of Jesus, right? The salvation, the forgiveness that's available to us. And we have to make a decision about what voice is going to reign supreme. What voice is going to drown out the other? We can't sit here with the volume at 5 on both things and think we're going to get spiritual awakening. You got voices coming from over here. You got voices coming from over here. At some point, somebody got to be mushed to be able to hear what God wants you to do. We got to decide who we're going to be, church. There's a lot of churches out there. There's a lot of religions out there. And they try to group it all together and say, this is how y'all think. This is how y'all move. And if we're not careful, that'll be what's true. But if we can look in God's word and spend time living out the scriptures, then it should make a distinction at some point. Because I'll put it to you like this. God's church, it is truth. They're not up for sale, barter, auction, none of that. And so either you could be in God's church or you can be on the outside. And it's a decision that we got to make whether or not we're going to be the folks that make it in. So I have a scripture here. Let's go to this last slide for me. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Captain America wasn't that original in telling us to plant ourselves like a tree. And look, whatever is trying to dissuade us from doing God's plan, it says the wicked standing in their way, taking the path that they take. That stuff is trying to take us off the plan that God wants. And so our final challenge is to study out the titles of God. This is what I got from this. Study out the titles of God and the titles that God gives his people and strive to be that. And if anyone attempts to take you off that path, say boldly, no, you move. You move. So when they tell you that you're weak and that you've never been good at this, you can't be who God created you to be. You can't do this Christian thing because you're going to mess up. So you might as well stop now. No, you move. Hey, man, you're not the most intelligent. You're not the best speaker. You should just chill. Coast. Don't really serve like that. Don't really take the opportunity to share with people. You should just quit. No, you move. So how do you know? How do you know, there's all these religions, there's all these ideas out there. You can't figure it out. You might as well just believe whatever you want to. It's cool. Just take it easy. Don't take your eternal life that serious. No. You move. Right? She's just my girl. He's just my guy. We ain't hurting nobody. It's just me and him sleeping together, living together, doing whatever we're doing, right? God won't be mad because we love each other, right? Or if you love me, or the worst part, if you love me, you would do this thing that God is telling you not to do. No. You move, right? So we all have that opportunity to make that decision. In Moses' case, in Captain America's case, in our case, we all have to deal with the fact that we have an identity given to us by God. Other people have an identity that they might not even know about that is given to them by God. We have a responsibility, an obligation to help them see that. And the church itself has a collective identity. If you read the book of Revelations, God writes letters to entire churches, not just individual people. We have a collective identity. It is our responsibility to make sure that we embrace and exemplify that identity that we've been given from God. And if anybody, anything, including yourself, tries to tell you not to do what God calls you to do, you will stand up boldly, look them in the eye, and say, exactly. So let's go ahead and pray. God, Father in heaven, thank you so much for listening to me. Thank you so much for the privilege of being able to be a part of your church, God, to be able to learn your scriptures, to be able to get in touch with who you really are and your character, God. I thank you for seeing me despite my flaws, despite my insecurities and my mistakes throughout these years, and still seeing me as worth it to die for. To still be able to see past all of the mess and see me in the way that you created me to be from the beginning. God, I thank you for every person that's here, every person that's listening on Facebook or will listen on Spotify or whatever other platform. I pray that they can get to know you. That they can, as they get to know you, God, they'll get to know themselves. And that they get to know themselves, that they will move from where they are to where you want them to be. God, I thank you so much for the blood that was poured out to even give us a possibility of being more than what we are today. Thank you for forgiving us for our sins, God. I thank you so much for having your body broken and being posted on that cross with your hands open and your feet closed as if to say, I'm always here and I'm never leaving. I thank you for the new life that we get to have in you, and I pray that in some way this message we're able to help us to connect with that truth, God. I pray for our communion today, for us to remember you in every way and in every day. I love you so much. I ask all this in his name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. New sermons are uploaded each Monday morning. Simply search The Path Church Atlanta in iTunes, Spotify, or your favorite podcasting service. Additionally, we greatly appreciate your feedback on iTunes. If you would like to learn more about The Path, we encourage you to visit www.thepath.church. We hope to fellowship with you soon.